wanted to share with the Talmidim of Yeshiva Seinu HaKadosha some thoughts by way of Divrei Hesped on Hagoyin Rabbi Eliezer Menachem Man Shach Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. I'm working on the premise that we are all B'nai HaYeshivois, not just B'nai HaYeshiva. That our yeshiva is part of a tapestry of many yeshivas whose roots are an ancient heritage which goes back to the yeshiva of Volozhin. In fact, the very first name of our yeshiva, long before we were born, but believe it or not, just around the time that Rav Shach was born, was Eitz Chaim, which was, of course, the name of the yeshiva of Volozhin. It was only after Rav Yitzchok Chanan was niftar, and in his honor, because many of the Litvish immigrants came from that part of Europe and understood the greatness of the Sar HaTorah and the Gadol HaPoskim, which Rav Yitzchok Chanan Zichrono Livracha was, that they named the yeshiva in his honor, Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchok Chanan. If we are part of that great heritage and rooted in that legacy, then it behooves us, of course, to join with all of the other yeshivas in the varieties of Divrei Hesped which were offered and will be offered during this Tekufa. And I must admit to you, I met Rav Shach only twice, and very fleetingly for that. And I must also admit to you that in terms of a personal hashpa, the individuals who are responsible for my own chinuch and the mela for the chinuch of my talmidim are of course the Rav Zichrono Livracha and others in my immediate mishpacha who also had somewhat fleeting and limited contact with Rav Shach. But nevertheless, in a certain sense, Rav Shach represents something much larger than life. In his Koyach HaTorah, it is incredible hasmada, and in the vision that he had of the significance of Torah and the purpose and future of Klal Yisrael, a vision which I have to tell you I share implicitly. It's much like someone who feels that he's been related for ages, but he can't precisely describe the points of contact. Maybe in a sense because they are so many. Because of a century of learning and a century of Ashpa, 50,000 Talmidim over 50 years in Panevish and in Eretz Yisrael Bechlau. There has to be a hemshech of that Ashpa. It filters down, and it has an impact everywhere. Talmideyem, the Talmidei Talmideyem, the vision, the aura, the sense of purpose, the Mesiras Nefesh, everything has something to say to us. In general, if you want to ask, tell me in one sentence, who was Rav Shach? With all the things that he was and that he did and that he said and that he fought for and about, if you had to say it in one sentence who Rav Shach was, you'd have to say he's 100 years of Dveikus Batorah. No one knows exactly how old he was when he was Niftar, and no one knows including Rav Shach B'Chayusai, exactly when was his bar mitzvah. His mother sent him a pair of tefillin around that time, and he knew that more or less, when he got the pair of tefillin, more or less he was bar mitzvah. He lived through tkufais ayumais mi'oid in the history of Klal Yisrael. Not one, but several world wars. And all sorts of horrible poverty and harpatkos hachayim and machalos. And in all of it, he was one great furnace of Torah learning, kimat 24 hours a day. Because a person that learns for so many years with such a hasmada, even when he sleeps, he's learning. And many are the story that he woke up in the middle of the night and he would go over to a sefer, open it up, close it, go back into bed without even realizing that he was in the middle of his sleep, or to put it differently, that he was at all awake. It was one hemshech of limud ha-Torah in his sleep, in his waking time, whether he had daigus or whether he had no daigus, whether he was concerned for the klal, at every moment he was almost ba'avodas ha-Torah. A masmid is not the way to describe it. You cannot describe his hasmada by simply saying he was a masmid. He was a chefter of Torah. He bonded and bound himself to the Torah with such an absolute commitment that he became a chefter of Torah. And you'll hear a lot of stories. But such a person does not become 100 years of Torah in a vacuum. He came from a classic Litvish mishpacha that knew nothing but Misiras Nefesh for Torah and absolute commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what. Poor they were, you cannot even describe their poverty. There was a certain tkufa when Rav Shach needed to wash his shirt, the one and only shirt that he possessed. He would take off his shirt and have to wait until it dried before he could put it back on. There's a story they tell now about a pair of shoes that is in the family of the Kotler Mishpacha, Rav Aaron Kotler's descendants. Maybe this pair of shoes is somewhere in Lakewood now. What's the story with the shoes? During the First World War, when he was by Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, his Karev, the war broke out, the Talmidim dispersed, he made his way home. His mother saw him, she asked, "What are you doing here?" He says, "The war." He says, "Is there then a more important time to sit and learn in the yeshiva? Go back." This was a mishpacha that raised their children that if the yarmulke fell, it was a gefel chazach. He once woke up after this man Kriya Shema of the Magen Avraham and he cried for 3 days. These are legends, Rabbi Sai. Legends. So the mother said to him, "Go back." He didn't have a penny to his name. To go back meant to walk for days. And all that walking, he wore out his shoes. There were holes in the bottom. They were almost useless. And finally, he got a new pair of shoes. When he removed the old shoes, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, Zechayna Levracha, asked him, "Could you leave the shoes with me? Could you give me your shoes? The old, torn, tattered, worn-out shoes. Give them to me. What do you need them for?" He says, "These shoes are surely a segula, because they reflect the most incredible Mesiras Nefesh of your mother and yourself for Torah." And it seems that the shoes went from generation to generation, not Hayoim. Rabbi Zalman gave it to his son-in-law, Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Zechayna Levracha, and so on. The Chefter of Torah, Rav Shach, the words of Torah were so precious to him. A moment could not be wasted when he was old and sick, very sick, and very old. The doctors warned that he's not supposed to exert or excite himself, and he's not supposed to strain his eyes, and he should not be looking into Sfarim. And he practically got on his hands and knees to beg by a grandchild, please let me have the Rashba. Why aren't you giving me the Rashba? Once when it was pitch dark, and he was Mechadish Ashtikul Torah, but he couldn't find the Rambam, because he remembered that the Rambam, I think he said, had a raya to what I was just Mechadish. I think there's a raya in the Rambam that I'm right. But he couldn't read the Rambam because it was so dark. And the next morning he said to Talmidim, I tasted a me'ein of Yisurei Gehenim. Now I know a little bit what Gehenim must be like. I wonder how many of us have such a havana of Gehenim. Gemara in Soita Daf Lamed Hei Yomer Aleph tells us that in Perek Kuf Yutes of Tehillim, David HaMelech speaks of Torah many, many times. Tanaya Ape. Many psukim have to do with Torah. And one of those psukim is Zmirois Hayu Li Chukecha. Your Torah, your chukim were for me Zmirois. Zmirois Shal Shabbos, Zmirois. Says the Gemara, and so it is echoed in the Medrash, that on his Madrega, and we don't speak about David HaMelech, we have no shaykhus to David HaMelech. No shaykhus whatsoever. But the Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makbid on David HaMelech, that he called the Torah Zmirois. When it says about the Torah, HaSoyif Einecha Boi Ve'einenu, Rashi explains, when you close your eyes, even for a second, you're blind. For that second, you're blind. You close your eyes for a second to Torah, and you've lost it. That's the kind of hasmada, the kind of constancy, the kind of commitment that you have to have to Torah. And somehow the phrase Mirois, which elicits excitement and wonder, which elicits enthusiasm, song, Rabbi say. It elicits creativity, the dimension of neshama, of heart, of lave. And yet what's missing in Zmirois is Hasoyif Einecha Boi Ve'einenu. Because it's glib and it's easy. You sing when you're lighthearted. Even the ecstasy in Torah is not its only dimension. The Gemara says the Ribbono Shel Olam was makpid. And you know what happened? What was the kpeda? What did it result in? That he forgot even something that Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabbam know. Ki avodas hakodesh aleihem bakosef yiso. That unlike the other kelim and the parts of the mikdash, the aron cannot be carried in an agola. It cannot be carried in a wagon. The Aron has to be carried on the shoulders of the Levian. Ki avodas hakodesh aleihem bakosef, on their shoulders, bakosef yiso. And because he forgot that, there was the Peretz Uzzah. They carried the Aron in the wagon, and the great and terrible consequence occurred. What is the Mida Keneged Mida over here, Rabbi Sai? Why dafka then did he forget? What is there in Bakosef Yiso? That's the Teretz. Bakosef Yiso is the counterpoint of Zmiros Hayu Li Chukecha. Bakosef Yiso is constancy. And you can't leave it up to others. And it's so important that you have to carry it yourself. You put your shoulder to it, and you never let go. When you carry the Torah that way, then Zemirois Hayu Li Chukecha is possible. And that's why there's no stira between that Gemara, which is also a Medrash. The Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah Parsha Chaf Aleph, Ata Moisei Sha'amar B'David, Sha'amar David, Zemirois Hayu Li Chukecha Loimar Shekalois Urigilois Kizmirois, says the Medrash. The Kalois Urigilois, Torah is easy, it's exciting, it's fun, it's creativity. Kalois or regilois kizmirois. Amalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu chayecho sheseifcho litois bedobo shatinoikis koirin. Kishehelos ha'orein toh v'nosnoi ala agola. Shenema v'yakivus ha'orein olikim ala agola chadosha. Tolo ha'orein atzmei ba'adir v'nishmitu ha'porois mitachtov. Koravuzo l'samchoi v'yakeyu shem olikim ala shal. Peretz Uza. So if that's the case, how do we account for the Chazal that says in Medrash Tehillim on the Pasuk Mo'ahavti Torasecha Kol Hayoim Hi Sichasi? It's my conversation, Sicha. Easy, light, cursive, a conversation, a Sicha, a Dusiach. Ama Shloimei Ayeles Ahavim HaKoyel Oyhavim Oysah the Torah Kol Misho Oyev Es HaTorah Ein Oyev El Chayim V'chein Oymer Rei Chayim Im Misho Asher Ahavta Ama David Ani Oyhavo V'chein Nema Amo Ahavti Torah Secho Ani Hoylech V'hi'imi Ani Yoshein V'hi'imi Kishen chitzi v'soni v'hoisa imoi v'koraboy kol yimei chayot. It's kol ayoim hi sichosi. But Ayi calls it sicha. And then, v'chein hu oimer. U'lefish alohi nachti aloi hoisa alai masui elos mirois. Because I didn't have a slightest hefsik. U'lefish alohi nachti aloi. It is for me what? Not a masui, not a burden, but zmiras, easy, light. V'cheinu oimer zmiras hayu lichukecha, v'lo zmiras bilvad, ela sicha, shenema mo'ahavti toirasecha kol hayoim hi sichosi. Is the chukhayra rabbeisai a stira mefureshes? Is it then a stira? Two different mahalchim? And let me ask you something. Can a David HaMelech say, and it should be incorporated in Tehillim, Zmirois Hayu Lichukecha forever and ever, and we recite the Tehillim and we say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Zmirois Hayu Lichukecha, and that's a kpeda by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? How could it be? How did it remain forever in Tehillim for us to say, when we want to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about our commitment to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah? So what's the answer? The answer is, if it's bakosa, if ye so, then zmirois hayu lichukecha is possible. Then it's a shevach. If someone looked, whether it's at the Avi Ezri, or he heard about Rav Shach's legendary, his pilus and his rakshus, he once came out of the Briska Rav, he had a meridik his kashrus to the Briska Rav, Rav Velvel Zechoino Lebracha. Meridik his kashrus. He came out once that was snowing, a very unusual snow, a heavy snow. And he was walking with a light coat, and he was Molei Simcha, and he was smiling from ear to ear, and he was taking his time. He was practically dancing in the street. And someone went over, Rav Shach, please take my coat. What? What happened? What are you so excited about? He imagined he has heard that he had a grandchild. Perhaps by that time a great-grandchild, I don't know. He said, I just coming from the Briska Rav, and he told me, Pshat in the Rambam, Pshat in the Gemara. Can I then be anything but excited, elated? Is there anything in life more sweet, more enjoyable, more delightful? Kol ayoimi sichosi, zmirais hayu lichukecha. Because it was bakosef yisol. 100 years kemat of unremitting hasmada. And the Siris Nefesh, through thick and thin, through wars, through poverty, through difficult moments. Unyielding, riveting Hasmada. Such a person can sing Zmirais Hayu Lichukecha. Please. Give me the Rashba. I beg of you, my children. Let me have the Rashba, he said. How a person like that becomes the Manhig Hador. It's an astonishing phenomenon that no one really understands. You don't ask for it. The minute you ask for it, that's the end. You don't expect it. They asked the Moshe, Zichrono Livracha, how did you become the Pesach Hador? I don't know who asked them such a question. Probably some journalist. Maybe some secular journalist. How is it, Rabbi Feinstein, that you become the authoritative? So he says, I don't know. Someone asked me a question, and apparently he was happy with the answer. So another person asked me a question. He was also happy with the answer. And so it went. That's how he responded. How do you become the Manhig Hador? How do you become the Loichei Milchemes Hashem? Certainly not by insisting that I am the Manhig Hador and I will be the Loichei Milchemes Hashem. It's a mantle that descends upon you out of nowhere. And it becomes the consensus of hundreds of thousands of Nei Torah. This is our Manhig. And it requires of a person incredible Mesiris Nefesh. And L'chaira, that surely should have taken him away from learning and out of the Beis Medrash. B'chlal not. Whatever the Asifa was, and it was Dvarim owned in Beruma Shalolam, and the incredible numbers of Mechamis that he fought, and Eitzis that he gave, and Tfilis that he was mispalel for the sick and the poor and the downtrodden, or whether he had to be concerned for the Yochid Bifrat or for the Tzibur B'chlal, in all of their needs, as many and as varied as they were. And he always responded and he always rose to the occasion. In all of that, there was absolute commitment to the Torah and to giving his shir and to being mechadish chidushim and to cleaving to Dvar Hashem. Amongst masmidim, he was a world-class masmid. A door that knew a Reb Chaim Shmuelevich, the Zichrono Livracha. Rav Shach was a masmid. There was a time that they had to remove a growth from his leg. Of course, you take anesthesia, general anesthesia. And when he found out that that would cloud his mind for several days perhaps, he refused it. His Talmidim, they say, held his legs down so that by accident he should not move them as a reaction. And so he went through the surgery. To us it sounds strange, even extreme. But that's what 100 years of uninterrupted commitment to Torah learning means. And we have really no Havana in it. We just listen and we are absolutely in awe that this person is a Yelud Isha. That's why when he fought his battles, and some of the battles were raging battles, you have to know who was fighting. You have to know what it means to fight with such a koyach haTorah and such a commitment to the tzibur and such a tsar that he had to fight the fight. I believe that it's Rabbi Yeruchim Zichrono Livracha that once said about Pinchas that it says Vayokom mitoicha eidor vayikach Reimach b'yodai. You know what is mitoicha eidah? He belonged to the people. He was part of the people. He cared for the people, and he understood the people. His kanos did not come from the ivory tower isolation of a person that doesn't care. It's mitoicha eidah. And vayikach reimach. And he was sometimes very sharp. He said, not like some people who walked with a bix, with a gun in their pocket, with a reimach in their pocket, and looked for the opportunity to use it. A gadol doesn't even know what a gun is. But sometimes there has to be a vayikach reimach biyodai. And the lulei that who knows what kind of curse could befall Klal Yisrael. Everyone knows about his milchama with Lubavitch. I want you to know, Rabbi Yisai, the Beis Medrash here should be pure from all considerations and all politics and all such things that will take you away from the Rashba, the Ritva, from Reb Chaim, from the Rambam. That's what you're supposed to be doing now. You spend your days and your hours tumbling this and that, and this one's a b'choy, this is a b'choy. It's not only a terrible waste of time, it's poshut an atzas hasotan to be mashkis the little time that you have. And these are the years, Rabbi Say. If you won't achieve it now, who knows when you'll achieve it? It gets harder and harder. It's harder because it's near mochuk, and it's harder because there are more interruptions, and it's harder because the achrayis is for others, and you can't shirk achrayis. A wife is achrayis, children are achrayis. Then children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren suddenly becomes an overwhelming achrayis. And then you have achrayis to its tzibur and to your kehila. Now is the time. But l'umas zois, Rabbi Say, sometimes you have to hear a dvar Hashem. Person fought against Mashiachius before there was a Havamina that this was to be taken seriously. When Lubavitcher's Hasidim were saying all along, what are you talking about? It's a few crazies. Who would say such a thing? And then when there were Lubavitcher Talmidim, who said that if Chas V'Sholom, the Rebbe, would ever die, they would become Kofrim in an instant. Because that's how strong their Emunah and their commitment to Yiddishkeit depends on that Emunah, that he is going to be Mashiach. But of course he died, and he's still Mashiach. So they have nothing to worry about. You're fighting something, and in your heart of hearts you know that it's going to cause a tremendous amount of discord, and a tremendous amount of pain, and a tremendous amount of antagonism, and that the enemies of Torah will make a grist mill out of it for their own purposes entirely. And everybody's looking to enjoy, to smack with delight their lips, because there's a machloikas raging be Israel. And yet he felt that he had to speak, and he spoke like no one else. And he spoke with a crystal voice, clear as a bell, that it's treif, and that it's apikursus, that it's kfira b'Hashem u'b'tayrasai. It's an astonishing thing to say about what purport to be Erlich HaYidin, who adarab are going out on a makarev and bringing Yidin back to the fold, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, back to the Torah. It would be kedai to hear what he says and to read what he says, because it's 100 years of unswerving commitment to Torah and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 100 years of learning that is speaking. But its makom is not in this Beis Medrash. What I do want to tell you is the following. V'achrei chen yotza ochiv v'yodo yoychezes ba'akei v'esav. Yaakov is holding on to akei v'esav. Rashi says because he should have come out first, and that he would not have had to resort to the ruse and to the mechira. He would have been there. He's number one. But it's Yada Yoichezes Ba'akei Vesav. When Yaakov goes through his harpatkos, everyone knows that Yaakov is the Avais, three Avais, Shloisha Nikru Avais, Yaakov, diametrically opposite to Yitzchak, who never left Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov's life, Be'ikar, is in Golus. And even when Yaakov comes back eventually, Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz megurei aviv be'eretz Kanaan. Everyone knows the Chazal, everyone knows the Rashi. Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva kafatz olav roigzoi shel Yosef. And suddenly they are in Mitzrayim, and the golus of Mitzrayim begins, the first of all the goliyos. Yaakov is the father of Klal Yisrael, but he is Yaakov. B'yada yaychezes ba'akev Esav, ayikra shma Yaakov. You know what Yaakov is? Yaakov is fighting with the Sar Shal Esav. And the constant struggle with the Sar Shal Esav is what we call golus. And we never know when that golus will end. Yaakov is given a name Yisrael when he is victorious over the Sar Shal Esav. But unlike Avraham, whose name is no longer Avram, Yisrael is still Yaakov. Kloimar, you will be Yisrael. You have Bechinas Yisrael already in many respects, but you are still Yaakov. Vikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. But it's not meant to be, because Yaakov, like his descendants, are going through Golus, and we do not know when it will end, Rabbi Sai. We do not know when it will end. After the Churban of Hitler Yimach Shmoy, there are those that have got up and said, never again. If it's a tefillah and a bakosha, all right. But never again is too strident a call to be a tefillah bakosha. I don't hear the Ona Hashem. Never again means we will see to it that it will never happen again. You know what that is? That's koichi the oitzam yodi, rabbis. No one can say never again. Because only the Ribbono Shel Olam knows when this golus will end. And only the Ribbono Shel Olam knows the harpatkos that Chas v'Shalom Klal Yisrael goes through. And surely after the First World War they said, Halavai, it should never be again. Who could imagine something more horrible? And surely after Khmelnytsky, Yimach Shmoy v'Zichroi, 100,000 Jews killed, women were torn open, and cats, live cats, were sewn into their bellies so that they should tear away in agony at the insides of these women. Unspeakable horrors, Rabbi Say. But they are merely the foretaste of the tkufa that my parents went through. No one can tell you when it's going to end, and no one can tell you what we will go through. We are only a bailim on one thing. On one thing we are a bailim. It says in the Medrash the following. It's a very short Medrash, but it's a very, very powerful Medrash. Umayis ha'olam meinin es Yisrael. They taunt Klal Yisrael. Meinin means to taunt, to challenge them and to taunt them and to mock them. The goyim, the world, mocks Yisrael. V'aymris lahen. Eloi heichoin loy bayaschoin. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want you. But isn't it obvious that he doesn't want you? You're hated, you're despised. You have no place, you have no home, no peace, no quiet, no tranquility. 50 years, it's not enough. It's Palestine, Rabbi Sai. Palestine. Eloi heichoin loy bor yaschoin. Shavik yaschoin. He abandoned you. Solik shchinosei me'aleichoin. He took away his shchina. Bayu etzleinu. They have a smile doicha b'min mekarevis v'goyim. Bayu etzleinu. Come to us. We'll make nice to you. We'll take care of you. We'll make you rich. We'll make you famous. We'll make you important. We'll make you leaders. Bo etzleinu v'anu memanim eschem duksin v'aparkesin v'stratalitin. You don't have to know Greek and Latin to get the sense of it. The Yisrael nichnosim lebatei kneisiyos ulebatei medrashos. The Kairin Batira. upanisi aleichem, v'hifreisi eschem, v'hirbeisi eschem, v'loisig al nafshi eschem, u'misnachamim. And from this they have their nechama, v'kairin b'teiro u'misnachamim. Teiro shebichsav, teiro shebal peh, 100 years of asmada, u'misnachamim. You can live through anything. The only people that can live through anything. Eish tamid tukad al hamizbeach, and it's loisich beh. L'machar. We don't know when that machar is going to be. But l'machar. Kishagula ba Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Listen to this. The Ribbono Shel Olam Kivayochol comes to Bnei Israel and asks them a question. Tameya ani, I'm amazed. I wonder, how did you do it? How did you survive my golus? How did you survive these chayes terfeis? Tameya ani, mikem heich himtantem li kol hashonim alolu. How did you wait for me so long? He doesn't ask them, how did you survive it? How were you willing to wait for so long? Waiting. Waiting, Rabbi. Shversta avoid in the world. Waiting. The heim oimrim lefanov. Ribayin kol oilamim. Ilulei toyroscha shenasat olonu. V'hayinu nichnasim b'batei kneisios u'b'batei medrashes v'hayinu kairin u'fanisi aleichem. Kvar hit'anu u'mal sa'ola mimcha. They would have already taken us away. Hadohu d'chsiv lulei sayroscha sha'ashuoi oz avadti b'onyi. Just like you can never say never again with that kind of human vados which is absurd and full of gaiva and fraught with the most grievous error. So you cannot say Mashiach now. You cannot say Mashiach now. You cannot. And there's a world of difference. And that's Torah. And Torah you can say in the Beis Medrash. There's a world of difference between Mashiach now and Ani Mamin Bevias HaMashiach. Va'afal Pisha Yismameya Achakel. Va'afal Pisha Yismameya means whenever he'll come, it's possible for him to come. There's no time that he cannot come. The Rav used to say over so many times in the name of Reb Chaim, Zichroinam Livracha, that Reb Chaim used to say, how will it be when Mashiach comes? And he described a bucolic scene, a peaceful pastoral scene. Everything is Olam Kiminhagei Noyeg in some shtetl in Europe. The milkman is delivering his milk, and the Rav is paskening a shilas, and the Rosh Yeshiva is giving a shir. And the wife is sewing and knitting, and all of a sudden a light dawns, and Mashiach is here. That's what it means, b'chol yoim achak eloi. And achak eloi means, I'm not going to give it up. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how did you wait for so long? It's a gvaldik akasha. Because people get impatient. And the impatience of Klal Yisrael has cost them dearly. Because every emunah tefela in Mashiach Sheker came from that impatience. From great people who had impatience. From people who said, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's enough! We can't handle anymore. Why are you doing this to us? Ribbono Shel Olam, you want a golus? What is the tachlis of this golus? To teach us a lesson? So many people are ogishmad because of the golus. Look at Spain and the Maranos. So many people are assimilated because of the golus. Look at the world around you. 50%, 60% into marriage. So many Jews in Russia are lost because no matter how hard they tried, communism rooted it out. What is to be gained by golus? Genug shein Ribbono Shel Olam. And everybody in his heart of hearts would love to be a Reb Levi Yitzchak Ben Dichever and get up on a podium and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, no! But it doesn't go like that, Rabbi said. It's heichen tantem li. And there's no such thing as bringing Mashiach, Rabbi Sai. Not in the sense of doing this mitzvah or that inyan, You know how you bring Mashiach? By being a good Jew, which we have to be anyhow, Rabbi said. And there's nothing compelling us to be the best Jew except that the Torah says so. Whether there would be Mashiach or not, whether there will be a future or not, today I have to be the best Jew I can be. And that brings Mashiach in its wake. You don't say Mashiach now, because Mashiach now is Koichi V'yotzem Yodi. Mashiach now is I figured it all out. I am the Navi. I know better than you. And it's hard to tell a person, no, you don't, when thousands upon thousands are following in the wake. And they're doing such wonderful things. It's very, very hard. It takes 100 years of Torah to get up and say, no. You have to wait. Heichim tantam li is a kasha that even the Ribbono Shel Olam asks in this medrash. So Vaisdois, it's a legitimate question. Vaisdois, that people don't want to wait. They want Mashiach now. And who could blame anybody? But it's not a Derech Yisrael Sova, Rabbi said. After the Crusades, you don't find that the Rishonim got up and said, we want Mashiach now. They didn't have the slogans, they didn't have the signs, they didn't have the ditties, and they didn't appoint anybody and say, that's it, Rabbanu Shel Olam. Now's the time. We've had it. Thousands of Yidden in Beitar were killed by the Romans. Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. Nobody knows. But they describe the blood running through the street like a river. Rivers of blood, Rabbi said. And Rabbi Akiva said, that's it. Bar Koichba was killed. That's it. It's not Bar Koichba. Rivers and torrents of blood. And Rabbi Akiva has to say, as the Rav used to describe, when the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, and it now comes Yom Kippur, and there's no Kayin, and there's no Ishim, and there's no Nichayim, and there's no Soyal Azazel, and there's no Lashon Shel Zahiris, there's nothing! Nothing! What's going to be? And everybody turns to the Gadol Hador and he says, Ashreichem Yisrael, lifnei mi atem mitarim umi mitar eschem, avichem shebashamayim. I remember mamish like now, looking at you as if the way I watched the Rav describe this scene, with all of his majesty and all of his poetry. And it came out so beautifully how the chizuk that Rabbi Akiva gave to a people that would have to endure a golus of masreikos shel barzel seikrim es besaroi, when everyone will ask zu teira v'zu schara, and yet we're still here, Rabbi Sai, in a beis medrash, when in the time of Rabbi Akiva I don't even know if the Indians were here. That you have to discuss in the Department of Sociology and Anthropology. We are here, Rabbi Sai. Pilei ployim, that we are still here. We also ask, Tomei ani, heichim tantem, kol ashonim alolu. Thousands of years. I just want to be Messiah with the Tosfos. This certainly is Torah. Tosfos in several places in Shas, in Brochus, in Masechet Shabbos, it's a well-known Tosfos, points out to what appears to be a stira in Chazal. In one place it says that Iyun Tfila, Ayin Yud Vav Nun, Iyun Tfila is a very good thing. You say it every morning. The Iyun Tfila, it's part of a beautiful list of very wonderful things. With Kibbut Avayim, and Achnosas Kala, Gvaldik, Iyun Tfila. And yet it says also concerning Iyun Tfila that it's not a very good thing. Not a very good thing indeed. What is not a good thing? So Tosfos, I'll read it to you, the Lashon, Masechet Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. that it says in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, Hama'ayin b'tfilosai soif bo lidei ke'ev leif. The person's ma'ayin in his tefillah, that wonderful thing that's oichel peres leim, the keren kayemes, soifai bo lidei ke'ev leif. He'll have heartache. Heartache, Rabbi Yisrael. How can you have heartache from Kibbutz Abay? From Talmud Torah? So how could you have heartache from Iyun Tefillah? And then it says, Shloish Advarim Maskirim Avonos of Shaladam. Kir Notui. The Iyun Tefillah Umoser Din LaShamayim Al Chaveray. Suddenly Iyun Tefillah is in very bad company. I remember a rabbi at a bar mitzvah, every bar mitzvah he went to, he would say the same vart. Say, Baruch Hashem, now you became a gadol, you left the company of the terrible three. It says here, suddenly, Iyun Tefillah left the company of Talmud Torah, and Kibbutz Avraham, and now look at the Zachon. And instead, what is it? It's together with Moser Din LaShamayim Al Chaveray, and Kir Notui. Going under a wall that's about to collapse. So what's the pshat? So you know what Taisva says, Mistami, you know what Taisva says. It's two different Iyun Tefillahs. It's the same name, but it's two different things. What is the Iyun Tefillah that's good? Kavona, Rabbi said. He thinks seriously about his davening. He focuses on the davening. What's the Iyun Tefillah that's no good? What's the Iyun Tefillah that's no good? Zok Tosfos Hazeh. Hahu Iyun. The mitzape mosa yasa kodesh bochu bakoshosoi shesovur shetfilosoi miskabelis. So what's so terrible? Because there's no such thing as telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to do this for me. And when a person davens and he says, now I've done it. Vayeta yitzchak l'Hashem l'noichach ishtoi ki akorei is vayeyoser loy Hashem. But there's no such thing as Hashem. That's it. I davened. Now it's your turn. You deliver the goods. And if a person's mitzape mosai, soifoi bo lidei ke'ev leif. You know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not engage with us in a deal that we daven and He delivers the goods. We don't buy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we don't compel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we don't say now, Ribbono Shel Olam, because we've had it. And with all of the ideas that we have of Tzadik Geizer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, I once wrote a chibur, it was 20 pages long. Vos mein Tzadik Geizer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Late enough. But believe me, Rabbi Yisai, has nothing to do with this. You can't tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is it. And Gomarnu. And we can't tell the Ribbono Shel Olam it's the 7th of the 7th of the 7th of the 7th of the 7th. Because it doesn't matter to the Ribbono Shel Olam what it is exactly. When he decides it doesn't have to be the 7th, and if he decides that finish, then our 7th is a mistake. And our Avoida, like the Avoida of Rav Shach, through all of those horrible moments of Klal Yisrael's history. The Rav used to say that the history of Klal Yisrael, you know what it is like? It is like the circular helix. You know what a circular helix is? It's a mathematical design. It has an equation to it. I won't bore you with the equation. But I'll tell you one thing. It's what we call a spring, like you have in your pens. It goes around and around and around, and it gives you a big headache. Because it doesn't go straight up. But guess what? If you start at the point on the bottom and you keep going around and around,
you end up on top.
That's the history of Klal Yisrael, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, to Klal Yisrael, and that's what the Rav explained to us. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm going to give you a history of Harpatkos, Ayumos V'Noirois, described in Nitzavim and described in all of the Nevi'im, all of the Nevi'im. But Saif, you'll win, you'll be victorious. You know, the Eben Ezra in three places, he says the same word about the other Yechezes Ba'akev Esav. He said, did you ever hear of an embryo with that kind of strength? He was a shtickle of scientist, Eben Ezra. Where do you hear of an embryo having koyach? And he's holding on. The other Yechezes, it's already, he says, not like those who say, when he came out, he grabbed it. No. The other Yechezes, it's already. He proves it midinei diktuk. In the Asayt Mayri, whatever. What's the pshat? The teretz is, Esav managed to krich harois first. He managed to get out there. I don't know how he did it. But Esav got out there. But Yaakov has a tenacity that's uncanny, that's unearthly. And that's beterem et tzorcha babetan yedaticha. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us that koyach because we need that koyach. Because it's not bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva. It's not so pashut. There's going to be a big Yerido l'Mitzrayim for thousands of years with all kinds of horrors. And for that you need a very strong little embryo. You need a little powerful ubar, tough as nails. And the koyach is the koyach of Torah. The koyach of Torah. A koyol koyol yankiv. The koyach of Torah that says, lulei seiros ko sha'ashuai. If it's Bakosef Yiso, it can be Shashua, it can be Zmiro Yisoyu Yichukecha. And that's why you could have a person who fights a very difficult and miserable and unhappy fight. Because he has to teach us that we have to wait for the Ribbono Shel Olam. But as long as we have that commitment to him, we will prevail. And of course, there's always and ever the possibility that betuvayu b'chazdoi, there will be an achishena, whenever that is. And as for me, achakeloi b'chol yom sheyavoi. What lies in that achakeloi is not merely that I believe in Mashiach. What lies in that achakeloi is that the world around me, with all of its enticements, and all of its modernity, and all of its sophistication, is not the last stop on the train, Rabbi Sai. That's what lies in that achakeloi. It's a taich in what's ikar and what's tafel. It's an explanation of where we're headed so that we should know that we are not there already. That is a tremendous lesson. That's all in those couple of words, which come ultimately from a pasuk. V'im yisma meyach hakeloi. Kivoy yavoy. Kivoy yavoy. That's why every Jew, when he was going up on the funeral pyre, sang Aleinu l'shabeach and Ani Ma'amin. And we hope we've seen the last of it. But our commitment that was forged in all those moments is unyielding. And whatever our Kodesh Baruch Hu dishes out, we will prevail, even if he says, Tamei Ani. How did you wait so long? But we will wait. The Chol Yoim, Sheyavoi, the Meheira V'Yomeinu, Amen.